Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crown Talking Drum, and the views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, hosts, or advertisers. Thank you for listening to Crown Talking Drum.
I'd like to give an honor to God this evening, thanking Him for life, health, and strength, thanking Him for allowing me another opportunity to come together with everyone on this radio broadcast and over the internet to live on in blessing, to be here again, thanking everyone that may be listening in, that God continues. Bless you all as we go forth. Nothing good that I've done, but through the grace and the mercies of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He has given me opportunities that I don't even deserve. But the thing is, God has changed some things in my life through His Son Jesus, that I'm able to live a different life and turn around and do things in a different way, see things from a different look. You know, we go day to day thinking that tomorrow is just going to be a day that's promised to us, but tomorrow is not promised to us. We have to live day by day, and whatever God gives me for this day, that's what I have to look forward to. Tomorrow will take care of tomorrow. But I need to do what I need to do now through and by the will and the grace of God. We're going to get ready to start the show, but before we do, we're going to have our prayer request. I have some people that I work with that has requested prayer. Not going to go off in naming many names because I forget, but God knows. And we're going to pray for all of our loved ones, our family members, and our children get ready to go back to school. Continue to pray for the sick and the needy, the incarcerated, all of the elderly people that's going through, the widows and homeless people. We have homeless people around the job where I work, that stays in this building across from where we work, and when they come in, you know, wanting coffee and things like that, we see it, but we don't really recognize the situation of seeing a person homeless. And we have some people that makes fun of it, and some people are serious about what they see, because we don't know. We've never been in that situation. And we hate to see people in that situation. So we want people to take that serious, because some people don't have an opportunity to make better, but some do. And they're struggling right around our own homes. And we're worried about other countries, fighting with other countries. We want to continue to pray for them. Pray for the Ukrainians through their times of troubles. Continue to pray for all of our leaders, our ministry, our churches, as we go forth, our pastors of the church, our members, that everything that we do for God, that it be real, not to deceive anybody in any kind of way, but deceiving is a big part of some people's way. So we have to ask God to help us, give us discernment of spirit that we may know right from wrong in these situations, and continue to study and read our word. We're going to go into prayer now for all of these situations. The people with dementia, Alzheimer's, people that may have a sickness within their bodies because God's able. He's able through all things, far and beyond we could ever imagine. So we're going to thank him in advance as we go into prayer, because we know that he's able and he can do anything but fail. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now, humbling ourselves, knowing that you are the source of all things in our lives. We thank you because you have looked after us and looked over us to give us a new opportunity when we woke up this morning and opened up our eyes, dear God, to see a new day of your love and mercy and giving us grace to go through. We honor you, Lord, because you are the head of our lives. And whether we be Christians or the sinner man, you said all souls are yours. So, Lord, we want to live in the right way as Christians to serve you to the fullest of whatever it may be that we have to do. Sometimes, Lord, we get a little slack in things because our bodies get tired and our minds start to slow down. But Lord, you got all things in, and we continue to seek and look to you, dear God, to help us through. Strengthen us, Lord, in areas we need to be strengthened, dear God. Turn on your searchlight from heaven, Lord. Search our bodies, Lord. Search our minds, our souls, all the things that's in us, Lord, that shouldn't be. Lord, help us to have those things in us that you would have for us to live by, obedience to your word. We ask, dear God, that you lead and guide us as we go forth. Let us know the truth in your word and take it and use it for our everyday living. We know, Lord, that you are able to do all things. We ask that you touch the sick and the needy, touch our bodies, Lord, in areas that we need to be touched, Lord. Heal in areas that need to be healed, dear God. Continue to bless our minds. Bless our spirits, Lord, that we continue to have that spiritual hunger for you, Lord, the way that we should, to live in the order that we should. We give you glory, honor, and praise, dear God, because you know all about it. You know what each and every one's going through. You know how much each and every one can take. We ask you to bless all of the COVID patients that's still going through the COVID stage, sickness, weakness, pains. We ask that you bless them in a special way, dear God. We thank you right now in advance for what you've already done. We thank you for what you're going to do. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. Continue to help us throughout this show. Bless each and every soul that calls in, each and every soul that's listening in, dear God. We give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Glory and honor belongs to you, Lord. I got a little something I was just kind of looking over. And what it is, it's some of God's divine promises. You know, I looked it up in the paper, and I come up with one paper that I have. It said 300 and some promises, but I have a paper that says promises divine, 5,467. We're not going to just go over all of them. We know that we have many of promises that God has given. And as I start out, it says, the promises of God reveal his particular and eternal purpose, to which he is unchangeable, committed, and upon which believers can totally depend. These promises are, however, conditional upon obedience on the part of believers. Obedience on the part of believers. So we have this one right here says God's promises are irrevocable. It says he is absolutely trustworthy. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and he, it says, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So it lets us know, backing it up by the word, God's promises is true by the word of God, because he's letting us know by everything that we go through, he has our best interests in hand, and we have to just continue to trust him at his word. And we have another one right here. Let's see. We have Titus. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He promised before the world began. And we're living in a world that God always existed, and he promised before we was even conceived in the womb, before we even knew what was going on in life. He made some promises beforehand. So that lets us know he always had things intact and in hand for us to be able to depend on. No matter what the situation is, he's true at his word, and we can trust him no matter what. We have to look at it. When God makes a promise, he don't change. He makes a promise, and he keeps that promise. That's just like we have, let's see here. We're going to go with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiply, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So we know that God has made some promises that we can trust, and the thing is about all of God's promises, they all are scriptural based to prove the promises that he has made to his people. Some was made in the Old Testament for the Israelites, his people back then and everything, but it still pertains to us as well as we live this life. And in the new covenant that has came in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we all have to look at it to whereas God had us in the plan all along, even though Israel was his chosen people. I had somebody tell me, he said, no, Israel wasn't his chosen people, we was. But the Bible don't say that. You know, people say things and they try to deceive you from what you believe. That's why we have to read and study and see what God's word says and do research and get the full outlook on things to whereas we know for ourselves and nobody can deceive us from the truth in which we believe.
gonna turn our mics on, and let our listeners give us some input. Good evening, everyone. God bless you.
Good evening.
Thank you for coming on and joining in. Good evening. We want everyone to just join in. If you have a comment on something that we are discussing, what it is we're just talking a little bit about some of the promises of God. And he has many that he has told us as believers that we could depend on and totally believe in truth, because he has given us them promises for a reason, for us to live on, live by, learn from. And if we would take it to heart and continue to just look at them, I did a lot of printing and things on, and it's got so many different verses that speak mm-hmm. on different promises, different covenants, and different things that, you know, when he was talking to the Jews or talking to, you know, us of today, the promises that he made with each and every Abraham and his sons back then, Jacob, Isaac, you know, he's made so many promises with Job back then. And we can truly trust and believe and see and read some of the things back in the Old Testament that God has did for the people that he promised to do. And he's still true to this day at his word for his people today. And
yes, he
through his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he give us an opportunity, you know, to be a part of this. And even though Israel was his chosen people, they rejected, and God had a backup plan. The backup plan was to make Israel jealous, and we as Gentiles was the people that was going to be in that place. So back then, whereas they had to have the priest to go in and make intercession for them once a year, we don't have to do that now. We can go to God anytime we want to because of the blood of Jesus that he shed for us, for the sin of the world. He covered all of that. He fulfilled it to whereas we ourselves have no excuse. We have opportunity now. And, you know, young lady, as I was on your show earlier and we was talking about the children and the young people, this is something that we try to reach our children with and the young people with, to let them know that this is the way that we have to teach our children today. And
yes,
they might not take it right off, but what we have to do, we have to instill it in them and pray and have faith enough that they run into somebody else that gives them the same thing we given.
The same knowledge, yes.
Yeah, that they will accept it from. They might not accept it from us right off, but there's always someone that God will put in their way that can talk to them, and they'll accept it from them more than they will us. And we can be family giving it to them. So we have to
continue. There's so many parents out here that aren't doing that, though.
That's right. So many parents that don't even think about it. They don't even think about it. They let the kids run wild. And if you mention, to be honest, to give you an idea of the situation, I have a lady, and she's nice as she can be, her kids, sweet as they can be, and she lived beside of us. And I told her one day, I said, we was getting ready for church. And I told her, I said, hey, I said, y'all come on and join us and go to church. Well, she called her daughter out. Her daughter was sitting right there with her. She called her name out that she needed to go. And I'm like, and the daughter, you know, as she lifed it off and told us, Mama. And I'm sitting there, you know, as we went ahead, we said, well, we invite you anytime you want to come. You're welcome. And I told my wife, I said, that's a shame when you invite somebody and a daughter and mother sitting there the mother passes it to the daughter and the daughter passes it back to her. Well, it's not the daughter's fault because she passed it back. It's the mother's fault because she wasn't taking it in knowing that that's the teaching that she should have had for her daughter anyway. And see, the daughter's other grandparents, her grandfather's a minister, and her grandmother, you know, she's the first lady of the church. And this don't, you know, take heed to what somebody's saying, because the parent was not in the midst to teach the young lady what needed to be taught. So this is why we have people around us, and God would always, we can't say, well, they didn't have a chance no more, because God would always make a way. You'll hear something on the radio. You'll be out somewhere and somebody will be talking about it. So we have an opportunity to hear something, no matter where we at, about the Lord. We might not accept it or take it in or want to hear it at that point in time. So you can't say, well, they didn't have a chance, because their opportunity was right there when they was hearing something and listening to something. Because God gives everybody a chance. So we have to learn to teach our children. And it, you know, it shows God has many promises that he has made and given all the way back from the Old Testament to the New Testament that we can look back on. And they still in effect today as when they started before the beginning of time. All the promises that he made then, they still in effect today, that he's still looking after his people. And we can take him at his word, because he's not going to lie. He's not a God that he should lie. Scripture backs that up. So we serve a God that we know is real. And I just hope, you know, they was talking about putting prayer back into schools. I just hope that they do, because every morning when we was growing up, that's the first thing that we did. Went to the auditorium, Pledge of Allegiance, and then we had prayer, and after that, we went back to the classroom, started class. And it was an everyday thing that they did back then. Now, they just go to school and run around in the hallway till the bell rings to get started, and then that's it. So, you know, we have a whole change of life out there that our kids is not getting from many of their parents, because the parents ain't taking heed, because they too busy doing the things that the kids are doing, and the kids are seeing them doing it, and they continue to do it themselves. The parents is acting more childish than their kids are. So it's just a situation that we have to continue to pray, continue to trust God, and just put them in the Lord's hands. Because when we was young, running the roads, doing our thing, he protected us. He looked over us, and some of us did things worse than what the kids, some of our kids is doing. Not all of them, because there's some rough kids out there now that don't care, because they feel like they don't have a worth in this world, and they just don't care. Don't feel that anyone cares for them. So we have to continue to let them know that we love them and Jesus loves them. So I try to make it my thing to tell them, hey, I love you. Jesus loves you too. And go on. However they take it is however they take it, because I'm speaking truth to them. I do love them. But Jesus loves them more. And without him, I couldn't love them. So we have to teach them in a way that they will see this. And us as Christians, we have to just continue to step up and let them know we're praying for you. We love you. And we got to pray for our schools, pray for our teachers. Because, like I said, it's a shortage of teachers, They're bringing teachers in. They're bringing people in that's not even qualified to teach because they don't have enough teachers.
That's going to hurt the children.
It's going to hurt our kids because how can the kids learn what they're supposed to be learning if you don't have a teacher qualified to teach what needs to be taught? So we're living in a world where everything is just upside down, and it don't make no sense. That's just like North Carolina when they got the lottery. They said, "Oh, we want this to help the schools." Well, the schools are suffering, but the lottery is getting bigger and bigger. You talk about $800 and $700 million that a person can win, and then take a lump sum and still have $400 or $500 million to put away, and the schools are still suffering. Well, somehow I can't see how it's working for the schools when you got that much money out there selling around that you can give to people, and not enough schools is able to make it because they call it the educational lottery. Well, how can it be educational when you don't have enough education to teach your children? You know, it's sad. This is the time that our children is living on. And like the earlier show, the young man said, you would think that the children would get smarter because they have all of this material, laptops, computers, phones, and everything. But see, the problem is they have everything to get the knowledge and get better, but they're not looking at this because they have so much other mess that they caught up on that's not
and because
what they're
looking they don't for. Have a foundation. They don't have a foundation. If you don't have a foundation, you don't know what to look for.
No, you don't.
They're not being taught remedial skills.
That's the hurt part of it. And you hear a lot of talk on the media, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. But they talk about it, but they're not stepping up to do it.
No,
and our children are having to suffer for it. You know, they say, well, we're going to do this. You'll see this happening. This is what we're working on. Well, how long does it take you to work on it? You know, I mean, you mention it, but it's another 4 or 5 years before you hear that something's happened with it. So you're not helping the children one bit. All you're doing is hurting them more and more. Excuse me. It says the fullness of life and eternal life.
Hello?
Yes. I was just reading on this. It said the fullness of life and eternal life. This is another one of the promises that God has given us. Okay, let's see. Hebrews 12. And 26. Let's see what he says about it. Okay, we have Hebrews 12 and 26. It says the fullness of life and eternal life. Hebrews 6 and 26, this is another promise that he has given us. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, ye once more, satisfied the removal of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. So he's letting us know, wherefore we receive a kingdom. And this is another one of his promises that he let us know that whose voice then shook the earth. There's nothing but one voice I know of that can shake the earth, and that's God Almighty. And it says, but now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So he's letting us know that people have to get it right. People need to get it right and live by the word and the promises of God. It said earlier, obedience. If we obedient people of God and we love the Lord and we're obedient to his word, the promises are for us. He made promises to his people, the Christian people. You know, as we go forth, we can learn about all of these promises. But if we don't live an obedient life before the Lord, then we lose out. He's given us some things to go on. And we can take him at his word. Anyone else want to speak on anything, give any comment or anything? Anyone?
Praise the Lord. Many promises, and I was thinking about the one where he promised to come back. He said, I have to go away. And he was going to send a comforter. He sent that comforter, his spirit. And it dwells down on the inside of his people. And he promised that he's coming back for his church. That's not the building. That's the church is within the believer. That he was going to come back for his church. Praise God. And he's coming back. He's going to be able to go back with him and to live forever and ever. And he is able to whatever comes our way. He tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Praise God. And we can trust in him. And he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us.
That's right.
Sometimes it may feel like he's nowhere around, but he's there all the time. And all we have to do is just trust him. Just trust him and take him at his word. So he's not a man that he should lie. So if we just read his word and learn of him and trust what his words say, we'll be able to go through. Because he tells us, I never leave you nor forsake you. Now Satan, he'll get you out there on a limb. And he'll cut that limb off from under. But, honey, who has to help us? Jesus. And we can call on him. And he'll answer our prayer.
That's right.
And then he
says,
love me, keep my commandments, and ye shall ask what you will. So, see, he does just what he said he'll do. That's just what he'll do. And we have to take him at his word. How do we do that? By reading the word of God. And believe what he said. And you know, he made me a promise years ago, 2000. I was, the first time I was flying, had went to fly on a plane. I'd never flew on a plane before. But I went and got my ticket and all that you have to do and got on the plane, and I sit down, and it's just three seats, the window, the middle, and the aisle. And I was at the window. And I took my, the little Bibles that they give you, they used to give you, I don't know if they do that now, in school.
Yeah.
The little red, I had one of them little Bibles, and I had it in, but I was nervous. But this little woman, I don't know who she was, she sat in the aisle seat, and she said, are you nervous? I told her, yes. She said, do you mind if I pray for you? Anyway, she prayed just a little simple prayer, wasn't loud, and God just moved that nervousness away from me, and as he began to talk to me and told me what he was going to do, and he repeated it three times. That was in 2000. He's been doing it ever since. He don't lie. He's been doing it ever since. And this is 2022. He's still doing it. So when God says something, you can take it, like they say, take it to the bank. Because he's faithful in what he says. He's not like man. Man needs to do it. And something may come up where he can't. But if God said it, he's going to do what he said. So I just thank God for his word, because that's how we learn of him, is by reading his word and going to church, listening to the preacher preach, and reading along with him. We learn what he's saying and believe what his words say. And you need to know, because they can misquote things. But if you read it for yourself, if they make a mistake, you know it. But if you don't know the word, they can tell you anything. And you'll take it. But, honey, God it where can get it for ourselves. He fixed
yes,
it that
way.
And I just thank God. I just thank God. And I just want to encourage you to continue to hold up the bloodstained banner. Continue to let him use you, because you are truly a blessing. And I thank
God
for you.
Praise God. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It's all about him and all that he's done. Because I look at it and I try to do reading and studying and research and things. I have another one here I'd like to read. Romans 8:32 says, "When I offered up my one and only son, I gave you the best gift I could give." And he did. And then another one where he says, Hebrews 10:23 says, "Hold fast to the hope you confess, for I am faithful to keep my promises." And just hearing that, he gave up the best that he had. And then he says, hold fast, to the hope you confess. For I am faithful to keep my promises. Just those two verses right there, he's letting us know he's gave his best for a reason. His best died, shed his blood, his only begotten son, for us, not only me, for everybody. Like I mentioned on the show, I was talking Tuesday, I believe it was, about this. It had on Facebook this man, he was a KKK, talking about how racism, as long as there was a black and a white, racism would always exist. And if they could get rid of all of the blacks, that it would change the way that one race supposed to be. And he talked about how he was a Christian and believed in the Bible, and he'd been trying to teach this to the people. I said, all he's been doing is deceiving these people, talking about only one race, because Jesus said died for all. He didn't say just died for one. He says, when I offered up my one and only son, I gave you the best gift I could give. And that meant he gave it to all of us, not just one person, one race, or whatever it may be. It meant everyone have an opportunity. And he made that promise that he gave us his best, and he gave us his best, because Jesus didn't have to come and die for nobody. He had all the royalty and everything that he had in his place in heaven. But God loved us so much. And see, when I was out in the world, I didn't think about all of this stuff. My mind was out in the world doing what I did. And I enjoyed doing what I was doing. That's all my concern to mind was. I had a praying mother. I had a mother that went to church, a good Christian woman. And she talked to me and everything, and she told me, said, she let me know that I'd been a good son, because I tried to do everything I could for her, even though I was still doing my mess out in the world.
And she said, God could really use you. Well, Nadia, I wasn't thinking about how God could use me. I was just thinking about how much fun I could have. Because my thing was, when anybody talked to me about being saved or Christianity, I talked about, I said, well, I can't have no fun being no Christian. You know, I thought all my fun was where it was in the world. But when God got to dealing with me in a fearful way, and he chose me to give me an opportunity, and I accepted it, and life started to go on as it changed. Yeah, I backslid in times past, trying to get it right, but continued to repent, asking the Lord to help me to get it right, because you cannot do this on your own. You need help. You need to get away from the world, get away from the people of the world, because I fell back with them and it seemed like some of the old things was picking back up. So I had to learn to get away from them to where the Lord could help me and deal with me and start reading his word at work and stay away from the people and start going to church, Bible study, Sunday school, listening to the word, reading the word, trying my best to study and research the word the best that I knew how. And I had one of my elders called me, and he told me, he said, asked me about what was I doing. I was sitting at the table reading the Bible, but I didn't understand what I was reading. He asked me, he said, well, how are you studying? And I told him, and he asked me how my Bible was made. Did I have any verses in the middle of my Bible where I could go back and do research on the verses? He said, you do that. And said, I guarantee you, he said, you'll have that Bible read, you'll be there and went through and did this and did that. And when I started doing that, I'd read sometimes, and one verse might have three or four different verses to go back on to where you could find out about what you were reading on. But see, I couldn't quit there. I'd mess around and I'd start reading the chapter so I could get more understanding, because that's what it took for me. And before I knowed it, I just got one verse in, but I'd read two or three different chapters from what that verse had given me to do the research with. So everything takes time. You don't learn overnight. You don't get by things overnight. You don't just get saved and everything's all right overnight. It's a process of time. And we have to learn that process of time. And in the meanwhile, while we're learning, hang around the right people. Ask God to help you with the things that he should take away from you, that you need to get away from. And ask God to just continue to strengthen you in the areas that you need to be strengthened in his word to get understanding. Anybody else? Any comments, any encouraging words, say-sos on anything? We welcome everything spiritual-based that we can give to the people that may be listening and the people that may be with us to encourage each and every one, because everybody, whether we be a Christian or whether they be a sinner, needs encouragement.
That's true.
Good evening, Bubba.
Good evening.
Just
praise the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shalom. Praise God. Praise God. I listened to the show earlier, the young lady.
Yes.
Communities in Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
And the conversation, it seemed to touch on something you were talking about here on your program. I look at it to where as no one is accepting responsibility.
Yeah, true.
The people in the world, and whatever goes, it goes. You know, what's wrong is right, and it's okay. The government's got these laws allowed, and that's allowed, and nobody wants to step up and say, okay, that was my fault. I let that happen. That's not working. Real quick, an example. I live here in North Carolina, and we listen to the news from Charlotte sometimes, and it seems as though these young men, they're just taking each other's life, and nobody's accepting responsibility, and the parents,
right.
You know, their child is killed, their parents are on the TV crying, that's my baby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know why did he get shot, you know what I'm saying? We have to look at all the facts. Where was he at?
Yes, we do.
What time was he doing, what he was doing, his friends, are you sitting down having a conversation with your child when they're home, you know, is there a family life, period, in the house?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we just can't go along with what the next man is doing and think it's okay. No, we have
That's
a family.
Right.
Our neighbors over there, they got a family, you know. And if we don't do what we need to do in the house before we leave out the house, you know, it's going to be some problems. There's a quote in this movie, Raising in the Sun. And I think the young man, I think his mother went out looking for him because he had some issues in the house. And she told him, she said, it's a bad thing when a man has to leave his own house to find peace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
yes.
You can't find peace in the street.
That's right.
How are you going to find peace in the street? You know, there's all that chaos and violence and whatever else.
Sure is.
And we should be able to have peace at home. And it's like, I can't wait to get home. You know, take my shoes off, lay back and chill and relax because there's peace and there's quiet and there's love. You know what I'm saying? And there's friendship in the house. But
mm-hmm.
where do you find it at? Where do you find it at? You know? Right. Make you wonder. Make you wonder.
That's
but
right.
Taking responsibility should be the first thing. We as parents cannot leave the learning and teaching to the teachers because the teachers, they barely want to be there themselves because of all the violence.
That's right.
You know, so the parents need to step up and do their part. Stop being intimidated by your own kids because your son, he's wearing his pants halfway down his leg. You know,
yes.
He spent $200 for sneakers. You know, he's smoking the blunts. He's losing his mind, and
that's right.
He has no what do you call it? He doesn't even know who he is. You know, he's just lost. He's just
following
the world who's out there, and he's being lost. He's been destroyed. The enemy is just destroying him.
That's right.
And that's how the enemy can get over by destroying the next generation coming up. You know, they're being destroyed.
He can.
Yes, sir.
He sure can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to, I got two verses I want to read right quick. This first verse says, it is Psalms 27:10. If your parents reject you, I will take you in. And the Lord is letting them know. And that's why we have to let our children know. If they feel rejected by their parents, he'll take them in. They got to look for a better way, but not in the world and not in the streets. Look for a better way in Jesus. Because he's the one that will be able to let them know how much love is deeply in the heart for them. And we have to let them know this. And I have another one, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. An everlasting city awaits you, for I am not ashamed to be called your God. Hebrews chapter 11, 16. Said an everlasting city awaits you. This is for believers. This is for God's people. If we live and we're obedient to God's word and we live and do what we should, and the way that the Word of God is leading us and letting us know by the Holy Spirit, be led by the Spirit of God. He has something for us. And every promise that he makes, he lets us know what he will do for his people if you're obedient. So why wouldn't we want to be with a God that can do any and everything, and he's made promises, and we know that he'll never break a promise that he has given us? Anybody else want to comment?
Praise the Lord. I'm listening to what you're saying. Praise the Lord. I'm listening to what you're saying. It's good, because David said, when father and mother forsake me, the Lord will lift me up.
That's right.
The Lord will lift him up, because Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us.
That's right.
We can always depend on
him.
Because he loves us all. He's love all by himself.
Yeah.
And even when we feel alone, God is with us. And
yes,
truly, it takes God to help us to go through our trials.
Does.
Because when you feel unloved and you feel like no one cares, and
it's
you feel like you're all alone, it's very depressing. But when you look to God and you depend on him, knowing that he will see you through, because he is a God of love, that helps you, and it gives you strength to go through, to keep going a little bit further.
Amen.
I mean, because you can't stop. You can't.
No, you can't.
You shouldn't let nothing hold you back. We can't let nothing hinder us from getting close to him.
That's right.
We got to keep going forward no matter what.
And the journey
is hard sometimes.
Oh, it is.
It gets rough.
It is.
And it gets tough, and it's hurtful. And it makes us feel like we're so overwhelmed with things that happen and comes our way. We don't know if we're going to be able to make it or not, but we got to stay focused and look to the Lord, because we got to remember his promises.
Amen.
His promises are true. Praise God.
Yes.
And just like in the book of Psalms, it says it 127, except the Lord build a house, they that labor in vain.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the Lord on your side, and if you're not living for the Lord, everything that you do is in vain.
That's right.
It don't make no difference how good you are, how well you treat people. You got to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he died on the cross for your sin and rose again on the third day. That was the whole purpose of him coming. You've got to believe that. You just can't be good and say, well, I'm not that bad. I'm good. I help people. I love people. But you got to do it the way the Bible said, because if you come up any other way, you're the same as a thief and a robber. And so Jesus is what we need. Jesus. And I just say Jesus. And sometimes I say, Lord, help me.
That's right.
Sometimes I don't understand my children. Sometimes they may say things to hurt me. But you know what? I still love them.
That's right. That's right.
I still love them no matter what. I like to read. This first verse is John 14, verse 2. It says, there is a special room in my house prepared just for you. there is a special room in my house prepared just for you. And then the next one is 2 Peter 3:13, where it says, you can look forward to the new heaven and earth that I have promised. It lets us know, as believers, he has a room prepared for us, and we can look to, you know, look to heaven, the new heaven and earth that he have promised for his children. If we live right and we be obedient to his word, these promises are all true. He's letting us know we have to continue to find out and study and read the word and everything. I fall short many times of doing what I should do, but sometimes I just sit around and I get to looking through things and I start printing off stuff and trying to, you know, find out a little bit more here, a little bit more there. But I tell you, all of this didn't come overnight. It took a lot of going to church, listening to the word, took a lot of Sunday school, took a lot of Bible study on Wednesday nights, and took a lot of reading and studying here at the house and doing what I have to do, even though I fell short. But the thing is, it's all important. It's all important if you truly want to find out about the Lord and things. You take what you get from Bible study and Sunday school sometime. You go back and you research it out a little bit more and dig a little deeper. It's truly a blessing.
Amen.
When you start to read things and understand things, and God gives you that understanding that you've been waiting to understand something. It don't mean that you'll understand everything, but there's things that will come to you, and he will give you the understanding of it, and you feel so good because you know that the Spirit of God is dealing with you, letting you know some things. And it takes God's Spirit to be able to work within us to let us know things in our lives. So when we look at situations as Christians, as a lot of Christians, you know, if you're smoking, quit smoking. Pray to God to help you quit smoking. If you're cursing, pray to God to help take those words out of your mouth. If you're taking a little sip every now and then, pray to God to take that sip away, because it's not of God. A lot of people feel it's all right, but it's not of God. You know.
That's right.
Whatever God's word says, I can't lie. I got to be honest. Some people might not like what you're saying or whatever, but all it is, you have to get rid of it. You have to get rid of it. You have to show love for one another, pray for one another. And sometimes we have to come together with one another to be able to encourage one another. This is a process that's ongoing until our last breath. Until our last breath, this is a process that we have to go through. And we have to be obedient on this journey every day of our life. Say, we fall down, but we get up. We can't just lay there, pout, and cry over it. Get up. Ask God to help you. Get back on the path and just hold on.
It's true.
Because God is good. All the time, God is good. I thank everyone that's called in. I thank everyone that's participated. I enjoyed each and every one of you. And it just takes a blessing for all of us to come together to share encouraging words with each other. And for someone that may be listening online or out around, you know, the world, that this may touch somebody's heart or somebody's, you know, mind or whatever. That's what we aim to do, is get God's word across the best that we know how. And we want it to be true. We don't want to deceive anyone. We want to do it in love and continue to just be a blessing to somebody. And with that said, shalom to everyone. I love you and I appreciate everything that's been said.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom, and thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you, brother.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.